for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the After Vote Nothing podcast.
With your salsa hosts, Salsa, no. Matt, and Jenna. What? I don't remember how this works.
I'm a salsa host now.
No.
With your salsa host. Salsa.
And me. Matt.
And Jenna. Oh my god, you guys are ridiculous.
Thank you. I mean, that's kind of our whole thing.
What?
Here.
You think? Really?
It's our MO.
Hey, we haven't been here for a while.
Which stands for modus operandi.
Which means I don't remember what the fuck I'm doing anymore.
Mm. Anything fun happen?
Nope. Cool. Good episode, everyone.
Wait, what?
High fives.
Piss
all
off.
Around.
No, there
nope,
weren't
high
drinks.
Fives. That's how bad it was.
Aww.
You know what we could do is we could drink to make it better.
Okay.
Except it's not going to help.
And no. This is your fault, Salsa.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. This month we're drinking non-alcoholic drinks.
Yay!
Because
convergence.
Because salsa.
Well, I decided there's a competition at work to lose weight. Basically, what they do is they weigh
open
you.
Open my bag of McDonald's fries
right in front of the microphone.
While
well
you
done.
About that.
So professional. What they do is they weigh everybody, and then everybody throws in $40.
All right.
If you lose 4% of your body weight, you get your $40 back.
Cool.
If you don't, you don't.
So that's like 2 pounds for you.
That's like nine.
Two.
Nine.
Calling you fat.
However, like, what's
calling me fat would be more weight.
No. Which means 4% would be a... Wait, no. Fuck. How's math?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my fuck.
Listen, fatty.
This is why we don't let him in charge of things.
Oh, my Jesus Christ. Okay. Anyway, so you have to lose 4% of your body weight by the end of the quarter. And they do weekly weigh-ins to just kind of let you know where you're at and stuff like that. The person who loses the highest percentage out of the whole group, all of those people that didn't get their $40 back, that person gets the $40.
Mm-hmm. Woo, cha-ching.
So, I mean, potentially if everybody loses their goal, everybody just gets $40 back and they lost some weight. So everybody wins.
Yeah.
But if somebody doesn't hit that goal, then somebody walks away with a little extra cash, too.
Nice.
We did something like this when I worked for Fitz doing fireworks. This is before he actually did lose weight,
mm-hmm.
but when he was starting to think that he probably should lose weight. And so it was me, Mitch, Fitz, and DP, and we decided to have a weight loss contest. And it was just a straight up over the course of a month, whoever lost the most weight.
Pounds?
Yeah, just okay. Full on. Like, you won.
Right.
And the shitty thing of that is, like, DP's like, dude, I'm in good shape. We're like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, like, he really had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Fitz is a fat piece of shit, and I'm a fat piece of shit.
Yep.
Mitch is a fat piece of shit. And so, like, I think we all went pretty whole hog. Like, I drove around doing fireworks that season with, like, mm-hmm. I'd bring,
is that
like,
when you were doing the stupid exercise?
No. This is before this.
Oh, okay.
But I was just, we each drove around with, like, our little, like, lunch pail with, like, a chicken breast, skinless chicken breast, yeah. And salsa. You know, or just a can of tuna. And that
wait, you drove
lunch.
Around with salsa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, doing that. But, like...
Were you, like, encouraging him or something? Like,
you
come on,
buddy. You can do it, buddy.
Yeah.
You got
come
this,
on.
Man. You can do this. Here, I'm just going to crack open this can of soda next to you. Mm. I know you got this, man.
Yeah. Mm. But we would sabotage each other because we'd all end up going into, like, the warehouse at the same time. And we would have stopped at gas stations and bought, like, beef jerky or, like, cheese balls. And you would, like... go into the truck next to yours and just leave it in the console, hoping that they'd be like, what the fuck? Beef jerky. And then as a driver around, I'd be like, well,
god damn it.
I'm one piece, one hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah, we would buy junk food to put in other people's trucks to try to fuck them over.
No, that's exactly what we were talking about at work. It was, you know, because we do have this weekly weigh-in and then the results are going to be posted.
Yep.
That way we know who to shame and who to buy the box of donuts and leave it on their desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good time. It played out exactly like you'd expect with DP, who had lost almost no weight because he was already in good shape.
Yeah.
He lost like 4 pounds. And we're like, well, fuck you, donkey puncher. Like, that didn't work. Fitz lost a good amount. I lost a few pounds. And then Mitch was fucking psycho and really just literally ate nothing but like skinless chicken breasts and cans of tuna.
Huh.
And after working the average 12-hour days we did, would go home and either go to the gym for an hour or run for an hour.
Jesus.
What? And it was just like, I went home and passed the fuck out.
Yeah.
We were tired as shit because you're hauling boxes and pallets and shit all day long. And he would get home from that and then go exercise for an hour or two. And he ended up losing like 25 pounds or something. Yeah. It's an unbelievable amount.
I was going to say, because when I met Mitch, he was not a fat piece of shit.
No. And so, yeah, and so we get to the weigh-in at the end of the whole thing. And it was at Fitz's house. And like, of course, the next thing you know, we're all naked.
Yeah.
Trying to account for every possible pound you can get rid of.
Yeah.
And we're all just like standing in the scale like, fuck you, fuck. And I think that it was a total of like $60 on the line. It was like not even a big deal. But mostly it was just the idea that we got to fuck with each other for like a month.
Oh, yeah. No, and it was absolutely. Totally fun and that's kind of what this is just, you know, it's, we're all kind of holding everything accountable and there's money on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah. And if you have a weird outside sense of accountability,
mm-hmm.
that helps. And then it becomes a game and therefore kind of fun.
And so, I mean, 9 pounds, I can do that.
Yeah.
I'd honestly love to get down to 200 pounds by the end of Fest.
Oh, I was bummed. I went to the doctor. And I weighed myself at my sister's place like a month ago, and I was at like 190. And I was like, fuck. Like, I'm actually below 200 for the first time in a while.
Wow.
I went to the doctor, and I was like, 202. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm at 223 right now.
Mm.
Or I was last week.
Yeah.
So I am doing a month without alcohol just to kind of...
It's the fastest way for me to lose weight.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, cut really some of those carbs, you know, drop 5 pounds and then go back to it. But it'll be during Fest when I'll be sweating it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're drinking non-alcoholic drinks. So today we are drinking...
Nice.
So today we are drinking non-alcoholic Moscow Mules.
Which is what?
Which is ginger ale, simple syrup, and a little bit of lime juice.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
All right. Let's do this. Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have difficulty with ginger ale like I do now because we've done it for the party room a couple of years
ago? Oh, where you can't drink other people's shitty ginger ale? Yeah.
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 Well,
for me, I have difficulty drinking ginger ale.
I didn't have any of it this year.
Ah. Because I also had the problem of just having too much of it.
Yeah, that's last year.
Because it's just like you get used
to
it and it's like, okay. But
this year, I didn't.
To be fair, the ginger ale we have is pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
I didn't
not as good
touch,
as the.
I there was like at the end of the night after we closed up, I'd fill my mug with what was left in the bucket.
Yeah.
That would otherwise get thrown away.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I wasn't drinking the ginger ale at all this year. I was drinking my. You know,
I probably had a total of like a mug's worth, and that was perfect.
The first two nights I didn't have any. Except for some of the leftover.
Mm-hmm.
The third night, I had about a half a mug, mm-hmm. I think. Before going out to do my Saturday night fuck you guys, I'm partying.
Right.
See, I bought a couple cases of Dr. Pepper and grabbed all of the almost empty bottles in the bar.
Yep.
Nice.
And I would. Every single mug was, you know, I had my leather mug that holds two cans of pop.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I put two cans of Dr. Pepper and whatever was left in bottle A.
Nice.
And then the next drink, I went back and two cans of Dr. Pepper and whatever was left in bottle B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, so I cashed a bunch of bottles.
I really did not drink much this con. Like, at all.
Yeah.
Even up until Saturday night.
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well,
no, the thing is, I was good Wednesday, Thursday, and even most of Friday. It was Saturday that really knocked me on my ass.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, Friday, it was Friday where you came in and you're like, I can help. And I'm like, no, you can't.
Yep. And I was like, all right, I listened to Jenna.
We've learned that lesson.
Yep. No, because it was, this is the first year in 4 or 5 years now that
something
I actually
like
performed
that.
In Ville 10 at con.
As opposed to doing that over
which I'm very comfortable doing. And then performing, I was nervous as shit. And so everybody was like, oh, I want a shot. And I'm like, yep. And just shot after shot after shot. And just, you know, like, and the nice thing about con is once you've been there for a while and all your friends are there, everyone you meet offers you a sip of something.
Yep.
Yep.
The terrible thing about con is once you've been there for a while and you know a lot of people, everyone offers you a sip of something.
Yep.
So you go, I only took 2 beers from my room, but I drank a half a bottle of Jameson between meeting all the different groups of people walking from my room to the stage. So, like, did the show, got done and went, like, whew, I'm glad we did the show right now, because we did the show half an hour from now. I've been too drunk to do the show. And, like, got through the show. I had a blast. It was a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just like, wee. And then I was like, all right, let's party. I'm ready to go. And Jenna's like, you're too ready to go. Go. And I was like, all right, I go. Yeah. And yeah, just like, and the thing is like, I was like, okay, I'm too drunk. Went down to Smoker's Paradise, like had a cigarette or two and was like, nope, even here, like I'm too drunk. I should just go lay down. It's time to get some sleep. And got like an hour or two of sleep and woke up at like 7 a.m. and was like, this sucks. I'm up too early.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing coffee in like an hour. I might as well put the room together.
Yeah.
I'll go down and head that.
I was so fucking surprised because I went down to the room Saturday morning to get ready for coffee and there's Matt already like doing shit.
Yeah, because like, I woke up feeling great.
Fucking should have texted me. I would have rolled over and got back.
Yeah, and just like, so it helped set up and got everything together and I hung out until like noon.
Yeah.
Just hawking for coffee and talking to people and having a great time. And then at noon I was like, okay, like it's hitting me. I only got like an hour, hour and a half of sleep last night. I gotta go lay down. I don't have anything to do till like 4.
Yep.
I'm gonna catch some sleep. Went up to my room and I got to my room and was like, nope, actually I think I'm gonna throw up. What the fuck? Because I felt great.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was like, nope, I think I'm gonna throw up. And I did. And then it was like, okay, that's weird. But that's fine. Like I was pretty drunk last night. Well, I'll take a nap and then go to my thing. Except that, like, instead of being able to, like, go, oh, I threw up, now I'll go take a nap and feel better. It was like, oh, I threw up, now I'll just curl up in a ball and have my guts be in knots.
Yeah.
And aww, not be able to sleep. And just, like, constantly kind of moving just tiny bits, trying to find a comfortable position. Yep. And nothing worked. And it was like, well, I got sound check. And so I had to get up and go, well, standing up is a bad idea. Throw up. Go downstairs. Go do sound check. Get through sound check. Leave sound check. Throw up. Go back to bed, lay in bed, and go. Because I felt perfectly fine unless I tried to drink water. I didn't try to eat. I just tried to drink water, and that made me throw up.
Oh, my God.
And so I couldn't even rehydrate. So, like, just going, okay, if I do absolutely nothing, I feel exhausted and kind of shitty, but overall fine,
mm-hmm,
and I can function. If I try to do what's good for me, which is to drink Gatorade, I will throw up. Because every time I would drink, like, a half a bottle of Gatorade over the course of an hour, I would then puke that entire bottle of Gatorade. And it's right, like, well, this is bullshit.
Yep.
So I just gave up and just did not eat or drink for the last 48 hours of con. And whatever. Like, okay, went and did sound check, came back up, threw up, laid around, tossed and turned. Well, time to do the show. Went down, went to rehearsal, did the show, went back up, threw up, laid in bed until 5:30 in the morning the next day and was just like, well, I didn't sleep at all. That sucked. You know, and it was like, come to breakfast. I'm like, nope, going to go throw up. You know, and like set my alarm for like 2:30 in the morning to come down and just be like, have like the Saturday at 2 a.m. like,
yeah,
we survived. And I was like, well, I survived part of it. I just lost out on like a day of con, yeah, which is sure, a drag. And it's like, I could have been down there and just kind of stood in a corner and not done anything when I was like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
that's actually worse than not being, yeah, there. So it's like, ugh. So I didn't want to be the guy that was like, I'll stand around and most will be okay, but every now and then maybe have to go puke. And I was like, that sucks. That's dumb.
Nobody likes that guy.
Yeah.
I had Big Fun Radio Fun Time, mm-hmm, to open the whole thing right before opening ceremonies. That was fun. Except Charles Hubble got stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I got the...
Jesus.
We were standing on stage, like, they're going to open the doors in 5 minutes, and we're like, where's Mr. Hubble?
That's when I got the text.
Yeah, we texted you. We texted, what's his name?
Calvin Hatley.
Yes, we probably talked, Calvin, we did talk say, to Calvin he would be Hatley. To we fill talked in. To what's the name of the guy who brought just a moment or just a minute?
Oh, so there's the C.
Cargill.
Cargill.
No.
Wasn't Cargill the guy who brought just a minute?
I don't know who brought just a minute. So
I thought it was Cargill.
It was the British guy.
Isn't that Cargill?
No, not Cargill. It was the British guy that was on.
Yeah.
On my show last year.
I know what you mean, but
anyway, we were like texting everybody. Like,
yeah, I got a text from.
You can read a script on the spot.
Yeah, I got a text from Don that was just like, hey, someone's sick or stuck in traffic or something. I didn't quite get it. Can you do opening ceremonies? And I said, I'm on my way to rehearsal in Wayzata. And no, she called me. And I was like, I'm on my way to rehearsal in Wayzata. I'm on like 494 and West 15. And he goes, Wayzata! Click. I was like,
yes,
okay, because they needed me like right now, and I was like, sorry, I'm 40 minutes away from the convention, yeah, right now, like, yep, that's not gonna happen. I'd be happy to do it were I there, but Yeah, that was fun, leaving the con on the first official night for like 4 hours to go do a rehearsal and being like, the nice thing was like, I went to go get Wendy's and I was like, oh, sweet, fast food that isn't crappy. And
but yeah,
go to rehearsal and be like, hi, I'm kind of sane. Good luck.
But yeah, he showed up at just
he made it, right?
The last minute.
Yeah.
Like he stepped up on stage and they opened the doors. It was pretty close.
Theater.
Yeah, we did that. That was a fucking funny show.
It's a great show, and it's a great audience for that show.
We did one sketch where we basically had Aquaman in front of the Bobs from Office Space, more or less.
Nice.
Kind of like, so tell me what you do here. Like, so if you can only save, you know, do things that is around water, what do you, you know, when they're doing land-based things, so do you think we should really continue your employment if you're only doing partial work? You could keep your job. Here's an idea. You can keep your job, but you need to kind of pull your weight around here a little more. So how would you like to be the janitor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stuff like that. So nice. it was wonderful. And then Christopher Jones, who was on our cast for that, was like, I disagree with the premise on this, but I'll go with it. And so we actually wrote in a disclaimer that was like, Christopher Jones, who works for DC, does not, you know,
not represent the views or opinions.
In fact, Christopher Jones would be more than happy to draw for Aquaman if they ever ask him to do that.
Which, once again, I think we say this whenever we bring him up, but Christopher Jones, great comic book artist, but also a fucking dazzling stage performer.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love him, I think, even more on stage than I love his comic book work because it's so good.
So much fun.
Yeah, he makes it look effortless, and I love it. So yeah, it's if you got a chance to see that at con,
he really does play that set upon character a lot.
He really does. He has the sad sack kind of thing so well.
So well.
He's good.
But yeah, Big Fun was a lot of fun, and oh my God, True Stone.
Yeah.
They were
wonderful. That's pretty much what I did with my Convergence was the party room this year. Because we had the late night or the nighttime party stuff, and then we had the daytime party stuff, and I wanted to make sure everything was good for True Stone. Like I was like, I'm just gonna make sure that I'm there so that I'll know where everything is and I can help, you know, find this thing or do that thing or whatever. And yeah, and so like I signed up for like all the True Stone shifts, and then like by the end of it, I was like, well, that was fucking stupid, Jenna.
Yeah,
like because that's basically what I did. I was in the party room. I did the Women of Wonder panel, the Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe.
That one sounded cool. Yeah,
it was awesome. But yeah, I did that, and then I did the room party. That was it.
We should point out, because you gave us a sweet seg opportunity. We did have True Stone from 8 to 2 in the morning at the Fearless program, which sounds like we'll probably do again next year, because holy shit, do people love that.
Right?
Which we assumed they would once people caught on, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep. I mean, F2E2 couldn't open until 2.
Right.
Because the hotel wouldn't let
noon,
them.
We filled a need.
Oh, you're right, noon, sorry.
Pushing out my glasses.
Exactly. So they couldn't open until noon because the hotel wouldn't let them.
Well, the hotel was like, we sell coffee, why would we let you give away coffee? We lose money. And so the convention could not sell coffee.
But
we are not officially part of the convention, so we could do otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we also, and I don't know where the convention gets their coffee. I'm sure wherever they get it from is great.
Yeah.
I would guarantee it's not as good as True Stone.
No.
So
I know where they get their coffee, and it's not as good as True Stone.
And so, yeah, it was delightful.
It was wonderful because when they were packing up to go on, you know, Sunday on the last day, they had two, like, half bags of beans left over. And I don't mean, like, the little bags. I mean, like
the big 5-pound bags.
Big 5-pound bags, like half full bag. And it was like, anybody want this? And I was like,
Yep.
So I walked away with one of those, and my wife was very happy.
Yep.
But yeah, beyond that, True Stone was great. And
Addison.
Addison, yeah. Scott and Addison. It was two of them held it down all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, did they do an amazing job for just.
Oh my God, I blame you for getting Addison sick.
Well, okay, fair.
And then there was the traditional 1 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning, White Castle.
I believe you mean 2 a.m.
Is that when the White Castle
show? White Castle shows up at 1.
Oh.
Yeah. The party's at 2.
But
we got to get your White Castle
shows
earlier.
Up at
yeah.
Wait. So I take a few hours away from the party room and you fuckers order White Castle without me?
No.
I mean,
we didn't order White Castle. The convention got White Castle.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just you hear it or you feel it really. Yeah, the convention, you feel it coming.
I was far too drunk to
on
feel it.
On 1 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning, the convention buys a shit ton of White Castle. And brings it to...
And it wafts down to...
Yeah, either the rice room or the soup room, whichever one. They set it up in there. And then they open those doors and you just...
And it's White Castle.
It's White Castle, exactly. Yeah. And when you're super drunk after 3 or 4 days of partying, it's the great. Best.
Yeah.
And I happened to be working promotions in the hallway.
Ah, as they came by with the
trays.
And
so they came by with the cart loaded with White Castle and I'm like, hey, so who wants some food?
Yep.
So I told Melissa was go to at that point in time. So I went into the room and was like, "Who needs some food?" Like James was like, "Yes, please," and somebody else. And so I then took off and waited in. I was third in line.
Nice.
Because if you're like beyond like 20th, you probably don't get any. I'm guessing.
Actually, no.
Do they have that much?
They buy a shit. And they do so buy much a shit so ton. That once the initial line goes through, you can actually go through.
Oh, that's impressive. Times. I would assume that would be gone real fast.
No, they buy a lot.
Nice.
Like, they buy a fucking, like, table full.
Sure.
They also limit you to, like, 3 pieces.
Which is smart,
Each time around, but still you go through 2 or 3 times. So that's what I did, is I went through TJ, a friend of ours, I ran into on the way there. So I was like, TJ, come with me.
Come with me if you want to live.
and we grabbed, and I think it was, might have been Young Eric went with us.
I think you're right. It was somebody I feel else. Like he talked about it.
So the three of us went through, and then I handed what I had gotten the first time around to him and said, bring this to the party room, bring this to James, you know, so he can eat. I'm going to go through around for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ate my fill, you know, 2 or 3 times around, and then I went through again, got another one, and then brought that to the party room.
Nice.
Nerds watching out for nerds.
Absolutely, wow. Yeah, but
Saturday?
I normally can't stand White Castle.
Yeah, no, there are only certain times that you can do White Castle.
Which is when I'm awake. It's so good.
So, Saturday, I did spend that afternoon pre-party. I went to the hotel across the way, the Sheraton. And did the like the dealer's room.
I never got
and
over there.
Artist alley and stuff.
That. Yeah.
So I did that. Like I did that with Jesse. And we spent about an hour doing that. And then I was like, I'm really hungry, and they have a restaurant there. And I was like, well, let's just do this restaurant. And we go in, and we are greeted by a maitre d'.
Ooh.
And there's all of this fancy formal whatever, and I'm like, well, this is probably a bit pricier, probably you know do this, and then. Opening up the menus, and there's things like, and I can't even remember the name of it, but it's like basically what happened when Europe discovered sushi, because it's like raw fish with stuff on it, and it's like, it's really interesting. But yeah, and a plate of that was $18, and that's an appetizer.
Yeah.
I think we're just gonna go.
Because I didn't get my date night with Jesse on Friday, I was like, all right, I'm buying. And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm buying. Let's do this. You're buying dinner the rest of the weekend and possibly into next month, but let's do this. So there I am, like, all super grubby with my, badge dangling
down.
Oh, my God.
Sugar mama-ing him.
Oh, my God.
I rollering all over the place. Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm just like,
making it rain.
You get that con sheen on you.
There's like that layer of grime. Like
it doesn't wash off.
Yeah.
And like I think I was just wearing like this grubby t-shirt and jeans and everything else. And I had the Pinot Noir and I had some of the whatever that fish thing was, and then I had a pasta thing, and I was like, oh, but it's got cheese. Everything here has fuck it.
Nice.
So I got that, and then I got a chocolate torte thing, and asparagus. We got a side of asparagus that was
done love asparagus.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the fanciest I've ever eaten, and it happened to be in the middle of a convergence.
Nice.
This was the first convergence that my wife was able to attend.
Yes.
Like, she was able to attend years ago, back when they still had day passes, and she was there for, like, half a day.
But I don't remember them ever having day passes.
That's what she tells me.
I think
this was before I started convergencing at all, so I don't know.
I believe she probably got to borrow someone's party pass.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's my guess.
I don't actually... Again, this was before I started doing con. But this was her first con since then, and so she was like, she went and she did the cosplay thing with her sister and brother-in-law, and, you know, they had a grand old time, especially while I was working. And we have a hotel room, which was wonderful.
Yes.
We had a hotel room in the Short Tower.
Yep.
Which was pretty dope.
Yep.
And so we didn't have to stand in line for fucking ever to get to the elevator. We were able to hop up to our room pretty quick. And Scott's cosplay, Scott one is one of the Wee Free Men.
It was fantastic.
Holy shit.
It was so good.
We were in their...
I was like, who the fuck? Oh, hi, Scott.
We were in their hotel room with one of those air spray paint.
Yeah.
You know, what are those called?
Airbrush?
It's an airbrush.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. With an airbrush, and he had gotten, like, templates. No,
What are those
stencils? Stencils.
Jesus.
I know English.
Yes. He had gotten these stencils, and we were airbrushing blue, you know, swirls and designs all over his body. Face, arms, chest, back, legs, the whole nine yards. And then he put on a kilt, and he was one of the Wee Free Men from the Terry Pratchett stories.
Yep.
And he looked amazing.
Yeah.
He looked fucking amazing. It was insane. And then Radley went as Granny Weatherwax. And Rachel, along with some of the other Princess Court, went as Sailor Moons.
Yep.
She was Sailor Venus. And she looked fucking amazing.
Huh?
Absolutely amazing. Like, wow, costuming.
Nice. I missed that. I am really sad that I missed that.
Yeah, that was... Her costume was amazing. Just absolutely stellar. She had spent a lot of time on it. And then was really, really pissed off because, like, half of the Princess Court flaked out. And so she was basically walking around as Sailor Venus for a couple days. And eventually all that happened was they got together and took a picture.
Like,
yeah, she was...
God damn it.
Less than pleased with how that all turned out, but... But, yeah, it was a good one.
So
we had fun.
No, I was really upset I couldn't fit into my corset this year. Jesse bought me a corset last year, and I was like, I'm going to put my corset on. Nope, loosen it up. Try it again. Nope, loosen it up. When it gets to be, I don't know, about a 5-inch gap, you just start, you just give up. You're just like, nope, that's never going to be attractive. 5-inch gap.
5-inch gap is my new Led Zeppelin cover.
Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was, I didn't really dress up because I was really, really frustrated
with that
corset thing.
One of these days, I'd like to. I just...
The full extent of me dressing up was putting on a different nerdy shirt every day.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me, too. I bring carefully selected t-shirts to be either advertising a show I do or to best fit the show I'm performing at the time.
Yep.
So, like, I like to wander around wearing a Horatio Hot Dog shirt or something so that it's like, oh, what's that about? Oh, this. And I can pimp the show.
Yeah. You know. I wore a Wonder Woman t-shirt for the Woman of Wonder.
Yeah. And I'd, like, I make sure I'm wearing, like, a Fearless shirt during the Masquerade halftime show. Yep. I make sure I'm wearing some kind of joke t-shirt during the Vil-10 show.
Yeah.
I wore the Beach Better Have My Money shirt.
Yeah, you did.
You know, stuff like that. So, like, yeah, I have, like, I wear an average of, like, 2 shirts a day.
Nice.
Depending on what I'm up to. But, like, the actual, like, making a costume, it would require more forethought than I have.
I was originally going to try doing Death from the Sandman series.
That'd be fun.
Because that's a simple enough
Yeah, that's
thing.
Not overly complicated.
Except the one piece that I had to order, I ordered a couple of pieces, but there were, like, 2 pieces that I really wanted for this cosplay. Some buckle boots.
Sure.
Like what she's got in the first one, and then a black wig.
Yeah, you need a good black wig for that.
Right? So, like, I'd done all this searching. I got this black wig. I ordered it along with the boots from Amazon. Never got my shipment.
Oh, that's weird.
I, like, after a couple of weeks, I was like, it says you guys delivered it, but I don't have it. And they're like, oh, well, have a refund. I'm like, I'd rather have the wig and the boots.
Right, yeah, that doesn't solve my problem.
So, yeah. Oh, hey, super cute.
Aww.
Pictures yeah. on an audio cast.
Yay! Well, I said I was going to show you. No, that's good. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was
a lot of good pictures taken this year.
That was basically
actually.
Con yeah. for me.
Yeah. Oh, I and then Jessa disappeared up to the 22nd floor.
As she's wanting to.
We did see her. Raiderly.
I don't know that I did more than once. We were I think after we got done hanging posters, I don't think I saw her again.
As we were getting ready to leave, Raiderly was like, I've never been to the 22nd floor. I just want to see it. We're like, okay, so we went upstairs, and as we're walking past one of the rooms, we're like, oh, it's just...
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's apparently, Lauren is a con widow to Kevin going straight up there. She's like,
sure.
Yeah, like, it's the second that he doesn't have to be doing something that she's not dragging him to, he has up there and plays magic.
Yep.
And she goes, yeah, I'll see him sometime tonight.
Well, I didn't realize they had the, I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically Space Team.
Mm.
the Artemis. The,
The Artemis. Yep. And so you go up there, and everybody has their own station that they sit at, and the captain's chair in the middle, and they've got a screen, and it's basically Space Team. You're shouting instructions, and the captain's shouting orders, and everybody's, I walked past, and I went, that's up here?
Yeah.
Next con, I'm doing that.
Yeah, that sounded pretty cool.
I did that with Jesse last year. We managed to snag one of the last slots, but this year I just didn't have time for it.
Yeah, that got booked up super fast.
I'm sure,
I would love to give that a go next year. Now that I know what's there,
it's a hell of a good time.
Yeah. It was a good con. We you know, like you said, the party room at night was a success as it has been the last couple of years, which is not to be taken for granted. We appreciate if you are listening, one of those people to stop
by.
We
had new software and setup for the green screen this year, and
it was really good.
So well.
Yeah, and so in case you're wondering, what we do with all those tips you guys give us at con is we keep trying to make the room better.
Yeah.
And so we upgraded this year, and things went more smoothly, and we're better. And we also added the TrueStone folks, which was perhaps the greatest possible addition.
Right.
So if you were at con and you got your free coffee, hey, don't forget, go check out TrueStone. And I know they did, like, for that week or that weekend, you could use Fearless as a promo code or something?
Fearless is a continuous one.
Is it? Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you
they had
use...
something convergence related, I thought.
Yeah, they had a convergence
one.
But anyway,
that was only
as
that
long
weekend,
as we're plugging
so.
TrueStone, let's plug TrueStone. So, yeah, that's how cool they were. They not only do they support our podcast, the High Five guys, you know, and other things like that locally, but, yeah, they sent employees to spend 5 hours a day giving out free coffee, literally as much as could be drunk by the people that showed up, which we were like, you know how many people that might be, right? And they're like, we got this, and they did.
Yeah, they did.
They did, and they killed it, you know.
They actually pretty much nailed the amount.
They really did. They were pretty spot on. We
didn't
had both,
have to go back to
yeah, we had a keg of nitrogenated cold press, and we had a couple pots of hot coffee going at all times.
And the cold press went
very fast. But we managed to like make that last. It was good. So once again, thanks to TrueStone for that, you know, on behalf of just me personally and for Fearless as a whole. I think we're all pretty happy that they did that for us, and we will most likely see them again next year. They seem to be happy with it. But again, if you do like TrueStone, and if you got to see them at con or taste them for the first time at con, you're listening to this, you know what? Order some coffee from them. The sincerest form of flattery is a purchase. So, you know, send some money their way, and you can still get a discount by using the promo code APROPOS, or, you know, APROPOS if you're fancy,
APROPOS.
To get yourself 10% off if you go to the TrueStone website and order yourself some coffee. And why wouldn't you? Because it's delicious. So, yeah, go check out TrueStone. They've been great friends to us, great friends to Fearless, great friends to the nerds, the theater community, the geeks, all that good stuff. Honestly, if there's something cool happening in the cities, they've been managing to become a part of it, and that's awesome. So, many, many thanks to TrueStone for all that they do, including helping sponsor our show. Should we take a break?
We should take a break.
Yeah, we should.
Let's do that, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time to talk about the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Going from one thing to another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much my life.
I have pretty much nothing to add to this conversation because I'm not doing anything fridge this year.
Excellent.
Aw, poor thing. What's it like to be a salsa?
I got a lot of free time. That's a complete lie.
That's bullshit, and you know it.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, we had a Fearless Lab show tonight. We're recording a little late because of that. And doing my little opening monologue, which I kind of prepare for. I've decided just to set the format of I'll talk about what I've been doing for the last month, because that just gives me something to talk about, and I just kind of figure
it out
from there.
It's almost like, I don't know where you might have gotten that idea.
Yeah, right?
I don't get it.
And so no, I was just like, all right, who all here is in a Fringe show? And like from the back of the room, I'm like, woo! I'm like, thanks, Elizabeth. I was like, there's got to be more than that. I, honestly, at this point in time in Minneapolis, it feels like everyone you know is in a Fringe show. It just it feels that way. And it
I met somebody and like discovered they were in a Fringe show.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You know, like this thing. Like,
so what are you doing for Fringe?
Yeah, young Eric and I went and did a set up in Anoka with Fantastic Voyage Improv. The folks did the Mousetraps at Con. They invited us up into their playground and had a great time. And you know, bumped into like Mahmood, who I used to do improv with at the workshop.
Oh, Mahmood!
Yeah, he's fucking moving to New York with his girlfriend in like a month.
What?
Yeah, no, he's like fucking.
What?
Doing, yeah. How awesome is that?
Yes.
She's going to school up there, and he's like, dude, fucking
oh,
why
my
not?
God,
let's hit it.
Hurts.
And I was like, that's so good.
Banger.
So I had a great time talking to him, but like. But I was just like, but my first question was like, holy shit, Mahmood, I haven't seen you in fucking ages. Like, you know, how you doing? Good, good, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what are you doing at Fringe?
Right?
that becomes the hello in Minnesota in June, July, because all of us are at that level where odds are you're doing a Fringe show.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that's one of the good ways to try something new, get cast with some new folks, meet some new people.
Yep.
You know, get exposed to a new audience. Like, in general, if you're at our level of performer, the Fringe is still useful. And so like that's kind of the first question. He goes, I'm not doing one because like I think it's the end of either end of July or middle of August or something like that. They're moving. And I was like, oh, son of a bitch. You know,
right?
But so I asked the same question at Lab and it was just like Elizabeth S., who's doing one of the shows that we're sponsoring from Fearless. And yeah, it was just like, oh shit, all right, well, I guess I'll tell a story that won't relate as well to this audience. Now,
right.
That's all I got. But yeah, so let's we're hip deep in that. So that'll be I think it's the second weekend of August that start or second week of August the Fringe starts.
First week.
Is it first week?
It starts like August
5th or 6th or something.
Second, I thought.
Oh no way, God, it's
no wait wait no it's the 4th.
It's
sorry.
The 4th. Okay.
I'm
so,
like
yeah.
Wait a minute, no, I'm jumping ahead.
Sooner than later, less than a month from now. So, yeah, so the Fringe is a thing. You've heard us talk about the shows we've been in before. Sometimes Jen is in, like, 70. Sometimes I'm in one. So,
I'm only in two this year.
Yeah, well, we're going to run through those briefly, and then we'll do our outro, because why not?
Right.
So, Jenna, what are you doing this year?
Okay, so I am directing the remount of Caucasian Aggressive Pandas and
Ooh.
Other Mulatto Tales. And that is a blast, because, number one, I already know the cast. We already know the characters. The cast pretty
and you got
much
the
remembers
cast back,
their
right?
line. The entire cast is
Which
back.
Is ideal.
Right?
I would go see it even if you couldn't.
Yeah.
But it would bum me out.
Yeah, right?
Because the thing I'm excited about is to show that...
how the hell do you replace
any
Mariah?
Them. Well, any of them.
Any
how
of them. But just Ted as Mariah
oh, God.
Is
No, but that's
fucking,
like this is a show that not
Ugh.
Everyone got to see.
Yep.
Because it sold very well, but it was a very small venue.
It was a small
and
venue, and we did end
for,
up selling out the final night.
It took
night.
Time for word to build. And so, like, I didn't even really know Megan. I don't think, actually, I might not even met her at all. I think I met her the month after Pandas.
Sounds
and so
right.
I'm thrilled to be able to take Megan to Pandas.
Yeah.
And I'd take her either way, but the fact that she gets to see the show with the cast.
Right?
In my head, the cast. Is super exciting. Like, you know, and, like, taking Erin Kennedy, like, I'm going to make sure she goes.
Excellent.
And, like, you know, taking Anna and Drew, and, like, there's so many people. I'm like, no, I'm going to be dragging people.
You are coming to this thing
because,
now.
Yeah, I still think it was a great show in the first place. It's going to be only more relevant now.
I'll give you a
phenomenal.
Sneak peek on a couple of different changes because there are some because we're in a different venue.
Mm-hmm.
The original was done at the Brent Lake Bowl, which is a tiny little stage in a bowling alley.
Might have heard of it. It's where you built in.
Right? This time, we're going to be doing it at Theater in the Round, which means we've had to redo a very large amount of our blocking to be able to fit it into the round.
Yeah.
Which is a huge change and a fun change. Theater in the Round has twice as many entrances and exits. which means we can play a lot more with the space in that area. There are better opportunities to play with the audience. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that. Another thing that we get to do with this venue, Matt Kesson's going to be visible.
Oh, cool.
Right?
Very cool.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite performers. And, you know, we've talked about him before from doing Die Laughing and, you know, Reverend Matt's Monster Science. Yep. And he is kind of the sort of the voice of God in that show. That's pretty much what I refer to him as.
Yeah.
And it's great. His disembodied voice is enough. That dude's got presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But being able to see him do his thing is it's a whole. I'm excited for that.
We are going to have him visible from the audience at all times.
Very cool.
So yeah, really really excited about that. The rest of it, like the characters stay the same. The pacing is pretty much the same. Because how do you fuck with some of that?
Right.
Like, is there anything to do? Nope.
The timing on Fringe shows is so tight.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to get out at your right time.
It was a 50 to 55 minute show when we did it at BLB, so goddamn well better be that for Fringe.
You can't add anything, because Fringe is the venue where if you run long, they will just cut the lights and you're done.
Bye-bye.
Midline, you're done. So, yeah. That's the thing that we're kind of bumping up against on my show, is it's going to be tight.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and so, yeah, we're... Duck remains easily relatable and patient.
Yeah.
all right, fuckers, listen up. And Suzanne is still creepy as fuck with that one character.
Yeah.
And just delightful in most of her other ones. Kirky is beautifully brash.
Yeah.
Just as such. And I love putting her and Suzanne next to each other, because Suzanne's got this very chipper and kind of delightful, hey everybody, and Kirky is really good at playing against that. Like, that's not what she is naturally, but she catches it and she's like, oh, I see.
Yep.
And
those
she can
two both
really
have
crash that.
Really,
well,
honestly, everything in that show, but like those two have a very specific kind of presence they reach, each able to bring to a role, because Kirky brings a lot of what she brings in Pandas to Mystery at Mystery Lodge.
Yeah.
Sure.
In kind of that wide-eyed enthusiasm that is so important.
Yep.
And can also turn sinister if you need it to.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, she just has this ability to just, what? No, I can't imagine why you would think it would be a problem that I would do that. And you're like, what the fuck?
Oh, God. Like, oh, God.
Yeah,
oh,
she's,
God.
Oh, layers. Layers like
a
man. Yeah. So good.
And then, Ted is just
Ted's one
such
of my favorite people.
Such a beautifully ignorant white guy.
It's so good.
He plays the ignorant white guy so well.
He is pretty much the perfect straight man.
He really is.
Yeah. It's
so
good.
Yeah, super excited to be working
the
with that cast again.
The more I see him and stuff, the more I want to see him and stuff.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. No. Goddamn. I had so much fun working with Ted on Inferno. And honestly, one of the highlights of my Convergence was I spent that first Wednesday night hanging out with him and James Fairbairn. And we spent hours talking, and I was like, God damn it, the more I talk to Ted, the more I like Ted.
The thing that always surprises me is you hang out with him in real life, and he's so unassuming.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
And he almost fades into the woodwork. Just, he's so quiet and not brash and loud and in your face.
He's never self-aggrandizing. He's funny and he's engaging.
I mean, get him drunk.
No, right.
Well, then he just loves
everybody.
But that's the best kind of drunk.
He's not like a lot of the people in this room who are very loud and forward and aggressive and just talking and And then he gets on stage and he has so much presence.
Yeah, and he doesn't even fight for the presence.
No,
it's just there. Hey, look, I got presence. What?
Ted uses acting.
I don't get it.
To be different than himself. It's weird.
I don't.
He is one of the purest forms of that,
I think,
the people we get a chance to work with. Of just like,
oh, yeah.
You watch him just slip into a role effortlessly and go, God damn it. Like, you make it look easy.
Yep.
But he's got so much charisma, it commands your attention.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just, oh, God. Suzanne was at the improv show with Anoka.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I got to sit and hang with her and young Eric for like 10 minutes before the show. And it's just a fucking hoot, because it's just like, we spent 2 months being brother and sister for Hardwired.
Yep.
And so it's just like, holy shit! And then we're just super excited and just like talking about this and that, whatever. And it's just the stupidest bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's the best. But like, you know, we just, now that's just how we relate to each other, as brother and sister. And it's so much fun. And she's so good. One of my favorite people to bump into and watch in shows. So I cannot wait to go see that again. So yeah, Caucasian Aggressive Pandas at the Theater in the Round.
Theater in the Round, yep.
As part of the Minnesota Fringe. And if you just go to Minnesota Fringe Festival or Google it, Minnesota Fringe Festival.
Fringefestival.org.
Yep, and find tickets and show times. And they did change how tickets and whatnot work this year. So, you know, pick your shows, reserve your tickets, all that, and make sure you get seats.
Oh my God, reserve your tickets.
Because
also,
this is a show that will sell out.
We've got some really popular names at Theater in the Round this year. Shannon Custer. Andy Kraft. I can't even remember all of them. But yeah, there's a lot of names. You really cannot go wrong going to Theater in the Round this year. Yep.
And so, make sure, and especially if you are one of those folks, like I said, everybody seems to be in Fringe shows.
Yeah.
And there's still artist passes and whatnot, but if you don't have a reserved ahead of time thing, your artist pass isn't good for anything, because if they're sold out, they're going to turn you away.
And that's the other
thing. Get those
two. If you come to our first night, maybe two, depending on how many we sell, the first 100 people get a panda button.
Nice!
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, reserve your seat for Friday, the 5th at 10 p.m.
You don't want a panda button.
Ironically enough, Duck also found one of the panda Pokemon at Theater in the Round.
God,
because it was perfect.
No, actually, my brother made that for us.
Either way, I was hoping, because that was
too perfect.
Yeah. I believe it is a Theater in the Round is a Pokestop. But yeah, there was no, I think Steve named it the Pandario or something. He took another panda image that's,
well, just ignore me because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Fear of the mind.
I was like,
understand.
Duck, you need to post this because it looks different if I post it. So no, Steve made that for me because he's fucking awesome.
Truth.
What he made it. He did a really good job.
He had you fooled.
I honestly believe it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then other Fringe stuff going on.
I have one other Fringe show that I'm involved with called Disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
The dis is in parentheses. So if you try to find it at fringefestival.org, you're gonna want parentheses on disconnect on the dis, because it's dis. Connect, because it's disconnected. Never mind. Anyway, it's a Wendy Bowlesby show.
Oh, cool.
Right. So she is compiling a bunch of different bits and pieces from local artists. Kessen is also in that.
Nice.
Duck is also in that.
Can't go wrong.
And then I think Tim's doing something. I am doing two pieces for that. It's kind of like Fringe Orphans, only classier.
Nice.
Might be the way to say it. But yeah, so I'm going to do one piece, a duet piece with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. And then I'm going to do a dance piece with Angela Fox and Wendy and Cole.
Awesome.
So yeah. And all of the pieces are about communication.
Cool.
In some way, shape, or form. So.
So my show is To Kill a Minnesotan. It is a Prohibition-ish era piece.
Nice.
With a based on a true story from the small town the writer-director grew up in, wherein somebody went missing, and now that everyone has died, she wrote a play about what she thinks happened. And it becomes a murder mystery. It's weird.
And your murderers.
I know, right?
I tell
you. But it's me doing drama, which is rare. In fact, never before happened. So that'll be interesting. But it's a really fun show. It's a lot of really cool, talented folks, none of whom I've worked with before, but all of whom I've enjoyed working with in rehearsals. So it's going to be a fucking blast. We are at the Southern Theater, which is the same place that like the Twin Cities Horror Festival is, which is one of the coolest looking theaters in the cities. Our first show will be Friday, August 5th at 10 p.m. And, you know, again, go to the Fringe website, find all that.
Wait a minute. Your first show is the 5th at 10 p.m.
It is.
Panda's first show is the 5th at 10 p.m.
I know. We're going to duke it out.
Yeah, but we've got panda buttons.
It's true. I don't have panda buttons. I've got sweet mayhem.
Murder mystery?
Murder mystery mayhem.
You have murder?
Yeah, could be.
You can offer people murder?
We actually lucked out. We had really good time slots. So it's going to be fun. But, yeah, we'll be at the Southern. Come check us out there. Again, go to the Fringe Festival website, check that out, get your tickets in advance. That's always really kind for people to do that so that we can feel validated as artists.
As artistes.
Yes. No, it's going to be fun. There's a lot of weird little, like, small town Minnesota politics. So it's like half characters I recognized from, like, going home to Marshall to visit my extended family, because they all talk and act like that. And then half, like, oh, shit got real. Yeah. So it's been really fun. We just had our first off-book rehearsal last night. There was a reporter that came in and did interviews for a couple hours and then watched the run-through and took photos and stuff. So the interest so far has been good without people even having seen it. So I'm hoping that rolls through.
Nice.
It's been a good time. Like, I really am looking forward to it. If you get the chance to come see it, I would welcome any critiques or feedback from anyone that does see it to, you know, send me a message or whatnot, because this is a totally different thing for me. And maybe I look like a piece of shit trying to be serious on stage, and I'd love to know, because then I'll just be better at not doing that anymore. But yeah, that's called To Kill a Minnesotan, Southern Theater for the Fringe Festival. A few other Fringe things we should probably mention. Improvoice, Young Eric's show, which is kind of like America's Got Talent or American Idol type thing, where singers are going to get up for the amusement of the audience and improvise songs based on suggestions from the audience. That's going to be dope. We have Elizabeth S.'s show. Is it the last late night show on Earth? Or is it the final late night show on Earth? Can't remember the title for sure.
I think it's the final.
Which is, you know, post-apocalyptic. The idea that these people are stuck in a studio. They may very well be the last people on Earth, but they're just going to keep doing late night programming just in case it matters, or because they have nothing better to do.
Yep.
That should be great. Bird of Seven Colors, Aaron Kennedy's dance show. From Twin Cities Horror Festival last year is getting a remount at the Fringe.
Nice.
Which is another one that I will be very, very happy to go show folks that missed it then how phenomenal it is. Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe has got a show doing The Not So Silent Planet, which is his sci-fi,
yep,
you know, strange fiction open mic that you've heard me talk about and I've done. Tim Wick has done. Tim Uran, a lot of, yep, names you'd recognize that we've talked about before.
Not me, jerk.
Not yet. Well, it's an open mic. You can go and sign up. I've not been a featured performer. I've just been signing up. So, but yeah, he is going to do that as a Fringe show as well. So that'll be fun, with kind of some best ofs doing that. Let's see. Who else do we know that's doing a Fringe show we're going to make sure we mention?
Oh my God, so many people.
There's a million, I know.
And wait, did we talk about Eric doing a show?
Yeah, Funny Eric? The Improv Voice. Okay. Yep, we did that.
I just missed that.
There's more. You know, honestly, like, if you're local and can go to Fringe shows, just go to all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
see a theater and go to something.
Honestly, yeah, and that's that is one of the best parts about Fringe, and which is one of the things I love about, like, the Twin Cities Horror Festival too, which is you go to see something. Within 30 minutes of your thing being over, a new thing will start. You're already there. Go see it. Take a chance and see something amazing, or see something shocking, or see something bizarre. Either way, just go see something, because you know you will not see that anywhere else. Because that's one of the beauties of the Fringe Festival being an unjuried festival. People will get away with show concepts here and getting in front of an audience that the average venue might not bother to book.
Yep.
And sometimes that's fucking gold.
Oh, yeah.
And other times you go, oh, that's why. But you know what? It's an hour of your life. If it's amazing, great. What a great use of an hour. If it sucks, it's only an hour. But yeah, you know, go out and support some theater. Check out some folks doing some crazy shit. People tend to do out there creative stuff for the Fringe Festival, and so we will be there doing our best to entertain the unwashed masses so that we can afford soap to wash ourselves. That said, should we get to our slightly truncated outro?
Let's do that.
We should also mention Mystery at Mystery Lodge, though.
Oh, yeah,
not,
you should, please.
Not part of Fringe, but it
happens
is coming
before.
Up.
Yeah.
It is July 23rd, and it is coming
a week from
up.
Saturday.
Yep, yeah. It's coming up, and it's going to be good. And the day before that is Vilification Tennis.
Hell yeah, it is. The Jar Jar Shot First show.
Mm-hmm. Our nerd show.
Yep.
So you're going to want to go to that.
Vil 10 at BLB, as always.
Yep. 10 p.m. I mean, I think everybody at this point knows.
Probably by now.
The details, so we'll move on.
So how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
So, as we'd mentioned before, we're culling through some old Fast Fives that were way, way back in the back of my inbox here that I cleaned out and kind of found. So here's one from, April 26, 2012, that we've not done yet, from Saint Man of the Destroyer.
Woot!
Back when she was just, according to her sonoff, Man of the Destroyer. This is prior to her sainthood.
Yep.
This is, Question one. handmade cloth diapers or placentophagy?
Phagy?
Maybe phagy. I don't know.
I'm going to go with placenta.
Placentophagy. Which is the more annoying, hipstery way to raise a kid, and that's going
to
be...
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah.
I did cloth diapers for a long time with our first kid.
Oof.
I did them when I ran out of real diapers and couldn't afford to go get any more.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, we did cloth diapers, so I have done cloth diapers with my younger siblings. So I was like, well, not a problem.
Yeah, I was a single mom, so fuck that bullshit.
Question two, Italian or Chinese?
Oh.
Chinese. Italian sucks.
I love
Italian's
both.
Pretty great, but Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That way I can talk to my sister.
What?
My sister speaks Chinese.
Yeah, I'm going to go Italian.
Question three, Perkins or Taco Bell?
Oh, Perkins.
If it's which one's the worst?
Which is worst or which is better when you're drunk at 3 a.m.?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, yeah.
Which one, if you're 16 and can't go to a bar yet, is better at 3 a.m. than it's Perkins for coffee?
Then it's Perkins. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell.
I think if you're in college, it's going to be Perkins, but any time else, it's going to be Taco Bell.
Yeah, I'm going to go Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Question four, Victorian.
Perkins, you can sit down at a table and play, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't kick you out as quickly. Gathering and stuff. Question four, Victorian or English Restoration?
Oh, I don't really know what those are. Ooh, I gotta go Restoration, I think.
I'll go Victorian, just cause.
I think I'm gonna go Victorian.
All right. And question five, Gem and the Holograms or Josie and the Pussycats?
Gem and the Holograms.
Pussycats. Gem and the Holograms.
All right. Well, let's figure out what we know.
Nothing.
Probably. Question one, handmade cloth diapers or placentophagy?
Phagy.
Phagy? Which is the most pretentious crunchy granola yuppie mom trend?
Placentophagy.
Yeah, placentophagy.
Yep.
Eating that placenta is just not a thing that you need to do. We live in the modern world where nutrition is abundant.
Like, I'm seriously, I didn't even know that was a thing when I had Jessa.
I remember being baffled when my friends were offered that option.
I don't remember the option.
No,
I don't like that. But now that I know that it's a thing, now I'm curious. Maybe.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I would try it just because I would try anything. But it is silly to think that that's important.
It's like, we're not a lot of nutrients and stuff. Buy a vitamin.
Well, no, but they don't even need vitamins. That's things like even if you eat fast food, you get all your vitamins.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like we live in a first world.
It's got all of these things in it that are really good for you. And it's like, yeah.
So does a Flintstones tablet.
Exactly.
It's just unnecessary. Question two, Italian or Chinese? Which cuisine has been most corrupted by American consumerism?
Oh.
That's different.
That is a... I have to go Chinese. Italian has been extremely corrupted, but Chinese is just unrecognizable.
Yeah, that's probably...
I don't actually know what real Italian or Chinese is like, so...
I mean, real Italian just tastes less like the McDonald's version of Italian we have, whereas, like, I think authentic Chinese street food and stuff
is
things we would never even touch.
Yeah, we do.
In Italy, the pasta is supposed to stand on its own, and the sausage is supposed to be an accent. In America, the pasta is a vehicle for the sauce.
Yeah.
My wife and I have this problem whenever we make pasta in our house, because if I make it, I make it Italian, and she wants more sauce. And if she makes it, she drowns it in sauce, and I'm just, like, scraping sauce off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing, like, when Justin Smurf and I used to cook a lot, we would occasionally just get a wild hair and just go out and buy, like, three tomatoes, boil them, mush them up, add a little bit of, stuff, and just have a drizzle of whatever on our pasta. And it was like, oh, that was so good.
The thing is that the tomato, one could argue, it falls into that category of changing it, but... authentic Italian now uses...
It uses it now.
But, yeah. I mean, if you go to Italy, you can recognize the food.
Yeah.
Like, it's different, but it's recognizable. You go to China and ask for General Tso's chicken, they're going to go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Chinese is probably the most different from here versus homeland. I think that's fair. Question three. Perkins or Taco Bell? Which is the worst thing to throw up on the side of the highway after you've made your sober cab pull over for you at 3 a.m.?
I think I've still got to go Taco Bell.
To be fair, it really depends on what you ate. I think the greater danger lies in Taco Bell, because a crunchy taco or nachos, anything hard, is less fun than like soft pancakes at Perkins.
That's true.
Which is what you would get.
Whereas if you got like a burrito or a soft taco, you're fine for either. But I feel like you're probably less likely to hurt yourself with
Perkins.
You're
still going to have more spice on and
fire sauce and whatnot.
Yeah, fire sauce coming back up burns just as much.
So the worst one is probably Taco Bell. Yeah. Also, I'll agree with that. Question 4, Victorian or English Restoration? Which is the more dapper gentleman?
Ooh. I gotta go Restoration.
I honestly don't know what either of these look like, so I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't... Honestly, Victorian's a bit more flouncy than dapper.
Is that like the big old top hats and like floofy...
The floofy thing or
something? Yeah, okay, I can kind of picture that. Then what's the English Restoration?
It's kind of more like more thinner coats as opposed to coats that'll tuft.
Which one's this? The Restoration. Oof, I guess, okay, between what I'm seeing there, Victorian then? Maybe?
Let me see what pictures you pulled up. I guess.
It's almost like, I don't know. Neither one's a good look, to be honest.
All right, I'm gonna stick with Victorian.
I'll go with Victorian. That seems fair.
Yeah, those pictures. That wasn't what I had pictures for.
Yeah, those
Restoration.
You know what? I am switching.
I like Victorian.
I am switching to Victorian. I think.
Yeah, I like that's closer like Jack the Ripper era looking, and that's
a little cooler. Yeah, I mean, Restoration is a bit more old school.
Yeah,
you got the
but a little poofier, a little more.
I guess,
flouncy.
What was the question again? Was it
more dapper?
More
gentleman.
Dapper.
I guess. How are we defining dapper?
Oh my God! Subjectively,
I'm serious.
The fuck?
Are we going with more like traditional English gentleman with the suit and coat, or are we going a little bit more?
I feel like something that has like a vest and then a coat, and you got a pocket watch. That to me is more dapper.
Okay, because
so that goes to Victorian.
Yeah.
I think
yes, Victorian. If we're going to go if we're going to go dapper, meaning more flouncy.
No.
Victorian.
Yeah.
All right, question 5. Gem and the Holograms or Josie and the Pussycats? Which would you most prefer to bang on the tour bus? Josie and the Pussycats. Straight up.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Rachel and Kyle.
Yeah. Or the cartoon. Either one.
There's a cartoon?
It's based on an Archie comic, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Used to be cool, man. No, you didn't.
I didn't know Gem existed until I was in college.
Jesus, fuck.
God damn it.
I grew up on the Smurfs, motherfuckers.
So did I.
Yeah, me too.
This shit played like an hour after that.
Right? Just stay tuned.
Then we went to Rainbow Bright.
Okay, this is all concurrent.
Yes.
Rainbow Bright and Gem were concurrent.
And then Voltron.
Things, also concurrent.
Okay.
I was watching Voltron, my sister was watching Gem.
Where I was at.
Well, there you go. Yeah, sorry. No, it's got to be Justin the Pussycats. Gem was 280s.
Oh, but see, I like 80s.
Mm.
I know, I'm a bad person.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad. No, I don't.
No.
No. No one believes that I feel bad about this.
No. So, a little divided on the last one. That's fair.
Yeah.
So,
all of the above.
There you go. When in doubt, yes. So, thank you, Saint Man of the Destroyer, for your 4 years late that we got into it. Fast Five. If you would like to send us a Fast Five, you can. You can send an email to, well, fuck, we don't even know anymore, do we? Message us on Facebook.
Actually, the email should be hopefully working.
Hopefully.
Again,
I'll wait till we know for sure. So in the meantime, message us on Facebook, which you can do by just going to Facebook, go to Facebook and search for Apropos of Nothing.
You know what? If they can hear this podcast,
they can probably do it.
We can probably do the email.
So yeah, matt@a1podcast.com. Send us your 5 questions, A or B choices, Coke or Pepsi type stuff. Send a second email follow-up with the context. And thanks for those of you that have sent those in and all that good shit. Yay! Salsa just field tested it. We are going to get out of here for the week because it is late and we are tired. We did all of our plugs for the Fringe. Do we have anything else we have to plug before we get out of here?
Mystery Lodge in Ville.
Yeah, which we just did, so we're good for that.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what was that podcast you've been recording last weekend?
Oh, yes, the Terms of Disagreement podcast.
That shit's up now.
That is up and running, and we just got done with another recording session. We recorded a few more episodes with some really funny people. We had James Fairburn, and we had Nate Youngman, and we had David Elwin, and we had this other guy whose name escapes me. You're talking about the one of the team
captains. Oh, was Matt Kasson on?
No. Matt and Joe were the team captains.
Yeah.
But there was this other guy whose name escapes me who had his really, like, super low, deep voice that was...
You're sure it wasn't Matt Kasson?
I know who fucking Matt Kasson is, yes.
Okay. But was it Matt Kasson?
I'm going to throw something at you.
Excellent.
If you go to mattkasson.com. Anyway.
Anyway, go to Facebook, Terms of Disagreement, at Terms of Disagreement, or go to vault404.com. And click on the Terms of Disagreement tab.
Yeah, that's a fun
Was
one.
It the Reverend Matthew
Reverend Kasson? Matt
Kasson. Smack you across the face? So hard.
Yeah.
Did I mention that he's in Caucasian Aggressive Pandas and a lot of tales?
All right.
He's in like 4 shows this year.
Well, you know, that's what smart people do. Yeah. We're going to get out of here. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll be back at you soon. And take care of yourselves and each other. Eat the fucking cake.
The coffee cake.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Talking and testing the microphone.
Microphone.
Also testing this microphone.
Microphone.